let's go to God's Word this morning. Let's start in 1 John, please. 1 John, chapter 1. It's very difficult to describe a supernatural God with natural words. There are a lot of expressions God uses in His Word to describe Himself, and none of them, I'm sure, quite measure up to the magnitude of all that He is. But they're magnificent nonetheless. I can't wait to the gathering together to find out how much bigger God is than these words. But even the words He uses to describe Himself are so wonderful and so clear in His Word. And of course, as most of you know, God gave His Word that we might know Him, right? That's news to many Christians, but it shouldn't be to most of us who've been a part of this fellowship. If you want to learn about God, well, read His Word. That's why He gave His Word, so we could know Him. And one of the great terms that God uses to describe Himself is here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Boy, oh boy, that's a wonderful truth, that God is light. That's a term I think even in our culture we've devalued somewhat. We talk about light in terms of, you know, Jared, can you shed some light on this situation? Meaning, you know, can you add a few details or clarify some things? But, oh, no, light's much bigger than clarifying. Light's much bigger than details, because light is something that's either there or it isn't, right? When you don't have light, what do you have? Yeah, not grayness, not unclearness, but total blackness, total darkness. The absence of light is not sort of light. It's black, it's dark, it's no light at all. Light is either present or it's absent, right? So sometimes we use it in the sense of, well, I've got new light on this situation, meaning I've got a new detail or a new wrinkle or maybe a little clarification. Oh, when God says He is light, it's not just a clarification on life. Okay, it's not just that He wraps up a couple questions we have about life. It's light as opposed to darkness. Without God, who is light, there is nothing but darkness. You ever been in total darkness? Any of you ever go on those cave tours? What is it? Want to see what total darkness is like? And they turn the lights out and you can't. That's darkness. How would you like to live your entire life that way? And yet many, many people do when it comes to spiritual matters. See, without God, there is no light at all. But the great thing is, because He is light, in Him is no what? No darkness at all. You see, when it comes to darkness and light, there's no mixture, is there? Once the light is there, there's no darkness. When the light is absent, there's no light. And God calls Himself light, because He is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Not only that, but in 1 Peter, right before 1 John, you'll find 1 and 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Not only is God light, but it says He has called us into light, hasn't He? And He's called us out of darkness. You see how the two can't coexist? I'm sort of dark and sort of light. No, it's either light or dark. He's called us out of darkness, but better yet, He's called us into light. So you and I now not only have a God who is light, but a God who has called us into light. We're going to go to a lot of scriptures today, so I hope your fingers are all here. Do this. All right? Good. Yeah, they hate it when I do that. Let's look at Ephesians 5, please. Ephesians 5. So we have a God who is light. He's called us into light. What are we supposed to do now that we're in the light? Oh, a few of you have read the scriptures before. That's right. Ephesians 5, verse 8. It says, "For you were sometimes darkness." Now, we should handle that right there. That's King James English, okay? We were not sometimes darkness. The word sometimes should be translated once. You were once darkness. Okay, before you and I knew the true God, before we got born again of God's Spirit, we weren't darkness sometimes and light sometimes, were we? Because if you were sometimes darkness, there's only one other alternative. The rest of the time, you must have been light. We were not sometimes darkness, but we were once darkness all the time. Okay? We were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Therefore, it says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Okay? In 1 John, it talks about walking in the light. Here, it talks about walking as children of light. So now that we've been called from darkness to light by this God who is light, He wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to walk as children of light. How in the world are we going to do that? I don't know. So figure it out. See you next week. No, I do know. Maybe you do also. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. Verse 23. It says, "For the commandment," speaking about God's word, "is a lamp." What does a lamp do? That's right, it gives light, doesn't it? "And the law," another term for God's word, "is life. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life." It says the word of God is a lamp. The word of God is a light. So now that I've been called from darkness into light, and God wants me to continue to walk, to live in that light, what's my means of doing that? His word gives me light. His word is a lamp. And again, remember, when God talks about light, he doesn't talk about just added insight. You know, well, my life was pretty good, but then I learned the word, and it tied up some loose ends. No, it tied up every end. You understand? There is no alternative to light but darkness. The light of God's word expels all darkness. The light of God's word enables us to walk in light. In Psalms, Psalm 119, right before Proverbs is Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 130. It says here, "The entrance of thy words gives" what? "Light." See, in other words, as soon as the word of God shows up, what shows up with it? Light. And it's, I'm thankful for the second part of the verse. It says, "It gives understanding unto the educated." No, unto the what? The simple. The simple. See, if it were just a matter of, that our job is to fit God's word together, then you'd say maybe it gives understanding to the Greek scholar, to the Hebrew scholar. But see, our quest in God's word, our need to feed on God's word and study God's word, isn't necessarily about making every question fit, figuring out every little apparent contradiction. And it's much simpler than that. It's just walking in the light. See, if there's apparent contradictions that we never figure out in this lifetime, big deal. Big deal. Because we have so much of the word that's clear, see? And all of the word is light. So our time in the word is not to just, it's not that God set us here with his job to figure out this puzzle. And if we finish it all before we die, then we win. Oh, no, no, no. The puzzle's just there because of man's poor interpretation and other things of that nature in the Word of God. But so much of the Word is clear. If we never touch the apparent contradictions, there's so much of the Word that's clear. And it gives light not to our understanding of the Bible. It gives light to our lives. The entrance of the Word gives light to our lives. It speaks to every aspect of life. I think back in Peter, it talks about this Word of God giving us answers on all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? Every single aspect of life is brought to light by the Word of God. As soon as the Word enters, there is light. There is light. Back in verse 105. Oh, look at this one. This is great. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet." What do I do with my feet? Yeah, that's what I generally do with my feet, is walk. And it helps to have light to walk by, doesn't it? That's why it says the word is a lamp unto my feet. If I'm in a darkened room that I've never been in before, my feet might stumble over some things, right? But with a lamp, my feet can walk in the proper direction. And it says it's a light unto my path. What do you do with a path besides shovel it? What do you do with a path? You walk on it. You walk on it. Oh, you see? God's word is light so that we know how to walk. Now that we're children of light, now that we've been called out of darkness, he wants us to walk in accordance with what he's called us to. And the Word of God enables us to do that. The Word of God sheds light. Oh, do you see the reality of this? Because again, it speaks to all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Without the light of God's Word, we are in darkness. Like many of you, I've been involved in God's Word to one degree or another for a good number of years, and it's reached the point where I don't know how men or women without the Word of God do it. I don't know how you could have the courage to try to raise children on guesswork, for example. And yet that's what most of the world does. They have children, they love them, and they say, well, hope this works. That would scare me to death at this point. Knowing that we have something sure, something that's always light, something that's always true, something that will always show us the correct path. Oh, what a firm foundation we have in this world that has no firm foundation. Can you imagine? You teens, we're going to get into some things regarding the family and sex and matters like that. A lot of you guys are going to get married. Can you imagine just having to figure that out and hoping? I mean, how many times, how many lives do you have to mess around with? Any of you reincarnated? No? You've got one. You've got one life to mess around with. Can you imagine having to base it on your best guess or someone else's best guess? But we don't have to. We have light. And we can walk in that light and then be sure that we're walking in a way that's not just pleasing to God, but that's beneficial to us, because this word is light for us. It's a lamp for our feet. It's a light for our path. Look at Isaiah. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, chapter 50. I haven't had any of the real tough books yet. I'm getting you warmed up. Isaiah 50. It says in verse 10 of Isaiah 50, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." So if you're walking in darkness and have no light, in other words, who's got light to give? God does. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? For those who are tired of darkness, God's got light. It says you can trust God to give you light. Isn't that fantastic? On the other hand, now look at the next verse. "Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled." Now, the previous verse was talking about light that God gives, right? Now this verse is talking about men kindling their own fires and walking in their own sparks. This actually is an Orientalism. As most of you know, the Bible was written in Eastern lands, and to help us understand God's word, it helps tremendously to understand some of the customs of the lands and times of the Bible. And one of them gives tremendous insight to this verse here, and where it talks about walking in your own sparks. In the villages in the East, in the lands and times of the Bible, of course, they didn't work in factories then, right? You had people who were shepherds, you had people who were farmers of different sorts, and they would get up to do their work long before dawn, wouldn't they? And the way that they would find their way down the path to where the sheep were or to wherever they were doing their particular line of work, there would be a fire there in the village, and they would take some rope and light it in the fire and shake it in front of them, and the sparks would give them just enough light to find their way down that path, okay? Now, keep in mind, they needed those sparks to find their way down a path that they walked every day of their lives, okay? We're walking down new paths daily, aren't we? You think sparks are going to... Oh, sparks might help a little bit. But see, God compares those sparks of men to light. Do you think there's a difference between a rope, some sparks coming off a rope, and noon? Would you say there's a difference? That's the difference God's drawing here between light and men's sparks. And yet he says men prefer to kindle their own fire and walk in their own sparks than to receive absolute light, which is from God. And that's why he says that, you know, those of you who kindle a fire and copper yourselves about, well, go ahead and walk. Try to walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that you have kindled. "This shall you have in mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow." That doesn't mean God's going to punish you. He just says if you try to walk in your own sparks, the best you're going to get out of life is sorrow. And yet people persist on saying, "Oh, these sparks, that's good enough. I can find my way with sparks," when daylight is available. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Because man wants to do it himself, doesn't he? And yet God has made light available. Look at John chapter 3, please. That brings up another question. Why in the world would anybody not welcome light? Light's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Why in the world would anybody not welcome light? I could think of a reason. I could think of people who maybe don't prefer light. Burglars, you know. Burglars don't like light, do they? That used car salesman who tried to sell you that perfect car that wasn't so perfect, he'd rather have as little light as possible, correct? But anyone who wants to walk honestly would prefer light. Why would men turn away from light? Because they have something to hide. Because they have something to hide. That's exactly what John 3 says. Verse 19. It says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. Oh, because light shows things up, doesn't it? Light shows things up. So if my deeds are evil, do I want them exposed? No. No wonder men choose to turn from light and choose their own sparks instead. Because light may show me my path, but light's also going to show all the other things, isn't it? And if I don't want to change those other things, I prefer to remain in darkness. I always think, when we go to this verse, I always think about a book on housekeeping that Kathy got one time. It was like modern housekeeping tips. And one of them was turn the lights down. Then you don't have to see how dirty the room is. That's not really a housekeeping tip because the room's still dirty, isn't it? But if the lights are down, it just enables you to forget about it. You know. Now, there might be times some of us would prefer to forget about it, but really, ultimately, you want the house clean, don't you? So it might temporarily handle your guilt to turn the lights down, or you've got unexpected guests, you turn the lights down. But ultimately, you want to clean the room, don't you? And to clean the room, what have you got to do? Turn the lights on. When the lights are on, do you always like what you see? No, I don't either. I don't either. But without the light, we could never clean it up, could we? So you understand, we need the light to show us what's right, but we also need the light to show us what's wrong so it can be fixed. Oh, do you see? There are some who so prefer the wrong that they'll rid themselves of the light in order to stay in the wrong. Because light certainly shows how wrong you are. And those who prefer wrong will prefer darkness. That's what John 3 says here. That's why there are men who will take their own sparks over God's light, because with your own sparks you can light up the things you want to and keep the things you want to in darkness, can't you? But God's light lightens all. Here in verse 19 again, it says they love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Oh, isn't that something? But you can understand that, can't you? If you're doing evil, you hate the light because the light's going to show exactly what you're doing. Everyone that doeth evil hates the light and won't come to the light, or his deeds will be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. See, light makes manifest. Light makes manifest. Light shows everything. See, when light shows that which is good, that's wonderful. When light shows that which isn't so good, it says here that those deeds are reproved, that they're reproved. That's what reproof is, by the way. We can look at this in Ephesians 5 again. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. Reproof, biblically, is simply light making manifest darkness, light, or light making manifest error. That's all reproof is. Ephesians 5, verse 13. It says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Reproof is a term you hear a lot in Christian circles, in some more than others. All reproof is light making manifest darkness. That's all it is. That's all it is. If light is going to be a part of the Christian walk, then reproof is going to be a part of the Christian walk. Because we all make mistakes, don't we? So if I'm going to welcome the light into my life, if I'm going to allow light to shine over my walk, it's going to shine some good things and it's going to shine up some other things too, isn't it? Part of the Christian walk, better get used to it. Sometimes the Word of God is going to show me I'm doing the right thing when I'm unsure as to whether I'm doing the right thing. Sometimes the Word of God is going to show me I'm doing the wrong thing. But for those who want to walk for God, to live for God, that's a joyous occasion. If I want to live for God, then seeing an area where I'm not quite doing it God's way, that's a joyous occasion. See? Remember we read in Proverbs that reproofs of instruction are the way of life? There is not a point in Christianity where you reach this mature level where reproof no longer is necessary. That maybe will happen at the gathering together. Until that time, we all make mistakes. We all have errors in thinking. We all have errors in action. And the Word of God makes those known too. That's not as much fun as when you hear the Word of God say, hey, I was right. But it's part of life. It's part of the Christian life. If we want to walk in the light, we need to get used to reproof because that's what reproof is. You know, that also brings to mind the fact that what reproof is not. Many people think reproof is that I study your life and decide things that I don't agree with and then I confront you with it. That's not reproof biblically. You know, even if you're doing something really terrible, reproof is not me approaching you and saying, you need to change. You need to get your life together. It says the Word of God reproves. The Word of God reproves. that doesn't even mean that I get a long list of scriptures before I confront you and say, Jared, you need to change your life, and this verse says so, and this verse says so, and this... No, the word itself does the reproof. Oh, do you see? There's nothing in God's word that talks about me targeting you and then loading up on biblical ammunition and shooting it your way to get you to change. That's not reproof. That's something man invented, because man likes to control man. I don't have the right to control your life. I do have the right to speak God's word. See? And God's word will reproof. You understand? I think he doesn't say in 2 Timothy 3, oh, let's turn there. We've got time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, most of you know this verse, but it doesn't hurt to look at it again. Second Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and all three of those add up to instruction in righteousness. Okay? Doctrine is new life. You're hearing it for the first time. Hearing, oh, that's great. Reproof is exactly what we talked about, that you know something from God's word. Maybe you've forgotten it, or maybe you've gotten lazy on it. You've veered off of it a little bit. Reproof is when the light shows the word's over here and you're over here. You understand? That's reproof. Correction, then, is that same light shows you how to get back to the truth, doesn't it? So doctrine shows you what the truth is. Reproof shows you when you're off of the truth. Correction shows you how to get back to it. All three are what that word of God does. The difference is not the three different words. It's three different situations in life. When you're first learning, that word's doctrine to you. It's the truth. When you stray off, that same word is reproof to you. One verse of scripture can be doctrine, reproof, and correction to any group of people. You understand? And that's what this word of God is. Now, it's not fun to realize I've strayed off of God's word, is it? But what's the alternative? Without the light of God's word, I'll never get back to. I prefer the ignorance of darkness, or the, you know, the cold light of truth showing me how to get back to the truth. I personally prefer the light of truth, because I could stay ignorant in darkness, and they say ignorance is bliss, but not really. And I think we saw in Isaiah, if that's my approach, I'm gonna lay down in sorrow, right? I don't want to lay down in sorrow. I'm willing to take those times where the reproof stings a little bit in order to walk in the light, in order to walk in a way that's going to be a blessing to God and a blessing to me. Because the Word of God is the reproof, there are going to be some people that I can't change. You know, there are those who not only resist the light, but have resisted it so long they don't even notice it anymore. You know? And you can share the Word of God, and it goes right in one ear and out the other, and there's no reaction whatsoever. What do I do about that person? Nothing. Look, if they have chosen not to heed God's word, that's a choice they've made. There's nothing I can do about that. I can share God's word, and those who want to be enlightened will be enlightened. Okay? Those who don't, there's really nothing I can do for them. I think it says in Proverbs, doesn't it say that a reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool? See, somebody who really wants to walk and live with God, all they need is the Word of God. They don't need your advice. They don't need your motivation. They just need the Word of God. Just give them the Word of God. The fool, however, you can give him the Word of God and 100 stripes, and he's still not going to change. You know what stripes means? Whippings. You know, it doesn't mean like a shirt or a tie. It means, you know, so the individual who is bound and determined to remain in his foolishness, the Word of God's not going to help him, and the Word of God plus 100 stripes isn't going to help him, so quit wasting our time. You know, don't even bother with the fool until the fool determines maybe he wants to start being a wise man. But those who want the Word of God's all they need. You know, I don't need to examine your life. What a terrible burden to carry. But I've got to be aware of everyone's problems so I can fix them. No, I just need to speak God's word, and that word will be reproof where and when it's needed. Every time the Word of God is taught, it's reproof potentially for individuals. You know, I'll give you a good example. Next weekend we're going to be getting into a subject in God's word that a lot of people don't want to hear anything about. With our single people, we're going to be talking about what the Word of God says about sex, what the Word of God says about sexual relations, things like that. There are those who are going to come to that session with real expectation, because they want to know what God says about this area of life. They're going to come with some hunger. They're going to come with some desire to learn from God, and they're going to walk away with life. they're going to walk away blessed and satisfied and knowing, ah, this is so simple, because the Word's always simple. We've heard so many opinions from the world. There are those who are going to come that day and walk away peaceful because they know the simplicity of how God would have us live. Okay? There are those who are going to come to that session and get nothing because they don't really want any light. You know? So they're going to get nothing. And, you know, there isn't a darn thing I can do about that. But we teach the Word for those who want the light. And, you know, some of you who come there wanting light, part of the light you get is going to be reproof. But we want to live for God. We want to live in a way that's pleasing to Him and a blessing to us. And so we're willing to take that reproof, aren't we? Let's look at Hebrews 12. I'm off the tracks here again, but that's okay. Hebrews 12, verse 11. It says, now no chastening. That word chastening, by the way, remember a few minutes ago we read 2 Timothy 3:16 that said the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. This word chastening is the same Greek word as the word instruction. So it's talking about here the instruction of the Word of God, which includes doctrine, reproof, and correction. It says no chastening, no instruction for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Well, certainly. Isn't it easier to just keep doing what you're doing? Sure. And the Word of God comes on the scene, and many, many times it's, well, what you're doing isn't right. That's not joyous. See, if I've gotten used to riding a bike with crooked handlebars, and I've learned how to handle the bike with crooked handlebars, and you come along and say, no, you've got to straighten those handlebars, initially I just assumed you hadn't bothered me, because I've figured out how to cope with the crooked handlebars. But, you know, eventually, once you've shown me that they're straightened up, my first few times I might fall, but eventually I'm going to realize this works even better with straight handlebars, correct? So initially it's not joyous, perhaps, to realize, oh man, am I ever off the Word? But look at this. For those of us who will heed the reproof of the Word, it says, nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. To those who heed it, to those who apply it, it's going to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's worth putting up with a little sting, isn't it? Because eventually the Word of God is always going to benefit. Light is always going to benefit. Like I said, next Saturday we're going to teach the Word of God to some of you guys here in the front rows, you know. And some of you are going to come just, God, I just want to know what you say about this area of life. You're going to come away with great light. And I think there's probably, you know, there may be some, I hope not, but there may be some who, like I said, come away with nothing. They've resisted the light so long that the light doesn't even mean anything to them anymore. You know, the Word of God talks about how an individual can be blinded to where not only does the light, you know, not only you're beyond the point of wanting to run away from the light, you don't even see it as light anymore. It says you're blinded. Jesus Christ talked about those who were blinded when he taught parables. Remember when he taught the parable of the sower, and his disciples came to him and asked to explain it, and he said, you know, some of these other folks who are here listening today, they have eyes that see not and ears that hear not. They don't have a clue what I taught about today because they were blinded. See, one can so resist the Word of God that they become blinded to it. And then light has no effect on them at all anymore. They don't run from it. They just sit there and don't even realize it is light. So Jesus Christ would teach this great parable about God and the heart of God. And they'd run back to the Pharisees and say, oh, he's talking about a farmer. You know, totally blind to the light that he was shedding, right? Hopefully none of us are in that category. But it is possible to resist the light so long that you just don't even recognize light anymore. In general, however, when the light is shed, what we read in John 3 will be true. Some will be reproved and be so blessed that they're reproved. Some will be reproved and get mad that they're reproved. And you know, that may happen on Saturday. We teach some of these things, and it sheds light on the area, and it reproves you, and then your mind's already working a loophole. Your mind's already working a way out of it. You've got the free will to do that, but you've got to realize what you're doing then is running away from light, and darkness is never beneficial to anybody. Is this clear? It's pretty simple, isn't it? Either light or darkness. Let's go to Hosea, please. I'll check back with you in 5 minutes.
You all know like where Isaiah and Jeremiah are?
After Jeremiah's Ezekiel, Daniel, and Hosea, chapter 6. It's really just a matter of trusting God, you know, because if God is light, as he says he is, then what God says is true, what God says is good, what God says is trustworthy, you know. There are those who get answers from God's Word. They say, I don't want those answers. Many times God's answers aren't going to be pleasant to us because they contradict what we've been doing. But we have to recognize that God's wiser than us. God's bigger than us. And God's more loving than us.
There isn't an answer in God's Word, there isn't an instruction in God's Word that is not to our benefit. So no matter how painful it's going to be, if I am willing to get back on the bike with the straightened out handlebars, eventually God promises it's going to benefit me. It's not just a matter of doing what's right, okay? It's a matter of doing what's good. God's Word is not just the right thing to do, it's also the good thing to do. It's the beneficial thing to do. It may be awkward at first because we're so used to doing things wrong, but the light of God's Word, when heeded and when followed, will always bring benefit, not just glory to God, but benefit to you for living it. See? Hosea chapter 6. See, again, this reproof, part of the Christian life. So get used to it, because the Word of God, if you have a tender heart, a meek heart, there are going to be times you hear things that are painful to hear. Because it's going to cause you to realize I've strayed off the Word in this category of life. Great. Great. It's like whenever people come to me for counseling, and I know the rest of you do counseling, it's the same way. Sometimes they come like it's a big pain in the neck for you to counsel with them. It's never a pain in the neck for me. You know why? We're shedding light. If we didn't shed light, they'd stay in that problem. They'd just be ignorant in the problem. But the problem remains, doesn't it? Just like the dirty room. So it's never a pain in the neck to sit with someone and handle a problem or a situation in life where they need counseling, because you're shedding light. Shedding light's always a good thing. It may not always be a fun thing, but it's always a good thing. See? Sometimes light may be accepted joyfully. Sometimes light may be accepted hesitantly, but it's always light. See, the quality of light doesn't change. You understand? The Word of God is the Word of God. Light is light. Light does not change. What changes is the way it's received by people. Light is light. And it's always a good thing when light is shed. It's an even better thing when that light is then heated. Hosea chapter 6, verse 4, it says, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto you? Ephraim was one of the tribes of Israel, but sometimes used by God to describe all of Israel. This is one of those places where he's talking to all of his people. And he's saying, what am I going to do with you? Judah, what am I going to do with you? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goes away. Okay, that's how long their goodness lasted. You know, you ever get up in the morning sometimes and you see the fog, especially out in eastern Ohio? You're driving along, you see that fog, and how long does that last? Not too darn long, does it? And he says their goodness was like that morning dew, like that morning fog. Didn't stick around very long. Their goodness came and went as it benefited them. Therefore, he says, have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. That's figurative, but it's a great figure, isn't it? You know what hewed means, like cutting down a tree? That's the effect his words had on them. Because why? Because God was mean? Because God got mad? No, his words don't change. But because they were so far off the word, it had that kind of devastating effect on them. You see, the word of God doesn't change. But the words of the prophets were very painful to Israel because they had strayed so far from the word of God. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. That's what God's Word accomplishes, and that's something we ought to rejoice in. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 6. We're covering some ground today in the Bible, aren't we? 2 Corinthians 6. Here's a great one. You may know, if you've been involved in God's Word for any time at all, you may know a little bit about the Corinthians. They were the model church. No, they weren't the model. I think they were the model for many churches today, perhaps, but they were not. They were just the opposite of the model. They were a mess. The Corinthians were a mess. If there's anything you could get wrong, the Corinthians got it wrong, okay? And they figured out things to get wrong that nobody ever figured out before. They were a complete mess. And, of course, Paul came there and spoke the word, which was going to shed what? Light. Here's what he says to him. O ye Corinthians, verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 6. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. This word straitened is one that doesn't communicate so much, but maybe it will now. It's a word used for a chokehold in wrestling, a stranglehold, okay? And he says, we're not strangling you. We're not choking you. You're choked in your own bowels. It's your own selves, your own hearts that are choking you. There were people who were saying, boy, life was great till that Paul came around. You know, till he came around, boy, we just enjoy the heck out of sinning. And, you know, and now it bugs us. And they're blaming it on Paul. If you hadn't come around, boy, our lives would just be great.
You understand? And all Paul did was bring the light. All Paul did was bring the light. Did he change their behavior? No, he just showed their behavior. So they were saying, man, you're just choking the heck out of our lifestyle. He wasn't choking it. They were choked by their own hearts because the word that he spoke showed them how far off they were. Oh, you see? They were choked in their own hearts. You ever meet people like that? They just, boy, I wish you never talked to me. I was just enjoying sin until you came around. Well, that's what happened in Corinth. And he says, we didn't choke you. We just spoke the word. Now, many Christians do that. They come into town, and they get on a sin campaign. Thou shalt not, oh, may we never do that. We just speak the word. And for those who receive the word, it's going to show up some things to their benefit, though. They say, we're not choking you. You know, you're choking yourselves because of what's being shown up by the word of God that we speak. Now, for a recompense in the same verse 13, I speak as unto my children. In other words, I speak with tenderness. Be ye also enlarged. There's a solution. You don't have to be choked by the word. The solution to being choked by the word is change. Be meek to the word and change. Then it's not going to choke you anymore. You know, if I'm robbing banks and you come and teach the word and I realize, boy, maybe robbing banks isn't such a loving thing to do. Every time I speak the word to you, it's going to bug you. But there's a solution. You know what the solution is? Quit robbing banks. You know, then when we get to let him that stole steal no more, you're going to say, yeah. Instead of, oh, I wish we didn't read that verse. There's a simple solution to not being choked by the word, and that is change. Do what the word of God says. See, right? That's what he's telling the Corinthians to do. Be enlarged. While we're in 2 Corinthians, let's look at chapter 11, please, because there's a little time left. There's one other thing I ought to bring up with you in this subject before we close out. 2 Corinthians 11. We saw that God is light, and his word gives us light, doesn't it? It's interesting. Most of you know that we have an adversary. This Christian life would be much simpler if we did not have an adversary, but we do. And thankfully, God tells us in his word that we do. That's part of the light, too. He's telling us you do have an adversary, so don't pretend like you don't have one. It sheds light on the adversary as well. And in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 11, it says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel or a messenger of light. It says here that the adversary, the devil, Satan, can take on the appearance of a messenger of light, one who is bringing light. Now, if the devil appears as one who is bringing light, God's light, okay, in him no darkness at all, the devil doesn't get along with God, does he? So if the devil appears as one who is bringing light, is it really light? No, it just appears as light. And that's something we need to be aware of as Christian believers, because there are many who bring something that sounds like God's word, appears to be God, it's almost like God's word, but you know what? It's not God's word. So is it light? No. Like Galatians talks about those who were teaching another gospel. They were saying it's another gospel. They were saying this is just like what Paul teaches. But he says it's not. It's not even in the same category. Light is light, and it says the devil can appear as a messenger of light, but he's not. See, many times there are truths we don't want to face from God's word. And then along comes some well-meaning person and says, oh, well, you know, I've got an alternative approach to teach you. You know, we talk about healing. One of these Sundays I want to teach you on healing again, but that's a great area because we know if you're born again of God's Spirit, healing is yours in Christ, isn't it? Now, we also know that not all of us rise up to claim that privilege, but it's ours in Christ, you know. Sometimes it would seem to feel better when someone comes along and says, well, you know, it's not up to your believing, Tommy. Sometimes God just doesn't want to heal. And then oh, good, I don't have to believe. God just wants it this way. That seems like a relief, doesn't it? But is it light or darkness? It's darkness. Because if you believe that, you know what? You're never going to rise up and get healed, are you? I may have to face up to the fact that, hey, I didn't believe God this time. But that leaves the door open for me to believe God next time. But if I listen to his light, which is not light, sorry, not yours, the person talking to you, that is not light, that closes the door on healing forever. Because I've just been convinced that, well, sometimes God just doesn't heal. I guess we'll never know. We'll never know. Is that light or darkness? See? So we need to be careful that as we need God's word as God's people to walk in the light, but make sure it's God's word. Make sure it's God's word. Because Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. You know, you ever meet Christians who say, well, this isn't in the Bible, but it's new light for our generation. Oh, well, okay, you keep it. If it's at cross purposes with God's word, which I know is light, then I don't trust it because there can be other things disguised as light, which the word of God says are not light at all. Let's go back to Isaiah, please, chapter 8. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, chapter 8. Verse 20. It says, to the law and to the testimony. Again, those are both two terms for the Word of God. Where it says, to the law and to the testimony, that's like a battle cry, you know. To the Word. Let's get to the Word. Let's get to the Word. That's what it's saying, you know. To the law. Where do we want to go? Let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Word is what it's saying twice. Let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Word. If they speak not according to the Word, it's because there's some light in them. No, there's no light in them. If it's not the Word of God, there's no light in it. So why bother with it? Because in the Word of God we have light and we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Why look elsewhere for light when God tells us we're not going to find it there? Oh, isn't that fantastic? Oh, let's go to John 1. John 1 speaks about an individual, one of the great individuals in God's Word, John the Baptist. It says in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Boy, what a wonderful calling, huh? And the Word of God has some mighty things to say about John the Baptist, that he was called to bear witness of the light, to point people to the light, to direct them to the light. What a calling. What a calling. And yet, do you know that you and I have an even greater calling? None of you teens know that. Not one. Well, I better show you then. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That word lights is a very specific word meaning light bearers, those who carry the light. Oh, look at this. John bore witness to the light. He pointed to the light. It doesn't say we point to the light. It says we do what? We carry it. We carry it. Oh, where do we carry it? I've got it right here in my back pocket. No, where do we carry the light? In us. It's in us. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you've got the Word of God committed to you. We've got something greater than John. John should only point to the light, direct people to the light, bear witness to the light. We do that, but we've got it. We're carrying it within us in a dark and perverse nation. So if anyone is going to make light known in this world, who's going to do it? Those who are the sons of God, you and me. We're the ones who that light has been committed to. Oh, that's an awesome thing to be aware of, you guys. That's an awesome thing to be aware of. Because, you know, the Word of God testifies there's a day coming that's going to be a day of darkness. Do you realize that? There's a day coming that the Word of God says is going to be a day of darkness. No light, just darkness. When that day comes, it's too late to shed the light. There is a day right now where light can be shed in the midst of man's darkness, and man can be brought from darkness to light. But that time is going to be over. And when that time's over, it's over, and then there's nothing left for man on earth but darkness. You and I have the distinct privilege of living in a time when light's still available to man. But the only way man is going to see that light is from one who is carrying that light, one who's bearing that light, you and me. Otherwise, the trumpet's going to sound, we get gathered together, we're having a great time, but guess who's left here? All those who didn't hear or didn't believe. See? And what are they left in? Darkness. See? We have a few short moments when we can bring light to those who are dwelling in darkness before a day of darkness arrives. What a privilege and what a responsibility. See? Because we're the ones, he says, now bear that light in this world. You know, Acts 26, please. Just, we're wrapping things up, but look at Acts 26. Well, I love this verse here, something the Apostle Paul says when he's talking to King Agrippa. And it's very indicative of God. You want a verse that really describes God and how God works? Here it is in Acts 26, verse 26. He says, "For the king knows of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing that Paul is witnessing to, the work of Jesus Christ and all that it involves, this thing was not done in a corner." Oh, isn't that a great figure of speech? This thing that God did, this plan of redemption, this family that he wanted, this thing you can read about from Genesis 3:15 all the way through God's Word, it says, was not done in a corner.
It wasn't done in a little secret place. You know, most religions are done in a corner. The deeper you get into the religion, the more secret little things you find out about, and you become a part of this little inner circle, this 33rd degree of special people who know the inner secrets of the religion. That's the difference between religion and what God does. God has nothing to do with religion, because what God does is done openly. Why? Because He's light. He's light. He wants everybody to see what He's done. Religion is man-made, and religion makes you feel good about yourself, so the more little secrets you have, the more spiritual you feel. That's what man does. That has nothing to do with God. God is not about little hidden secrets. God's about making known. God is about revealing, right? In His Word, it says He reveals. He doesn't conceal. He reveals His righteousness. He reveals His plan. He reveals who He is. Nothing God does is done in a corner. God wants it revealed. God wants it unveiled. God wants it made known. In this day and time, however, for this Word to be made known, for this light to be shed, it depends on someone who's there in the light, you and me. If we want to do God's will, one of the greatest things we can do with this time we have in this world is to make known that which He makes known, to get it out of the corner. Too many Christians have taken what God never did in a corner and they put it in their little corner, right? God doesn't want it in the corner. He wants it made known. He wants it shed forth. He wants it revealed. But that depends on someone who's got the light to shed forth. Well, you and I do. Romans 13, please. Two more verses here before we close out. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 11, it says that knowing the time, that now it is high time, high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Here salvation is referring not to the new birth, but to the return of Jesus Christ. Most of you are familiar with that. That's another teaching. But it's referring to the return of Jesus Christ. It's nearer than when we believed. Well, isn't it? When's He coming back? No man knows. But one thing I know, it's nearer now than when I believed, right? When you got born again. If you got born again an hour ago, still are you an hour closer to the return of Christ now than you were when you got born again? That's all that says. It's getting nearer all the time, isn't it? Getting nearer all the time. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Because who else is going to do it? The news media? They don't have light. They don't have light. See? Church leaders, many of those, if they ever had light, they've forgotten what it looks like. But you and I can put on the armor of light. Because the night's far spent, the day's at hand. Then it says, let's walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Part of making known the light isn't just speaking it, it's living it. See, it's living it. The Word of God says we're living epistles, right? Known and read of all men. Part of making known the light in this crooked and perverse kingdom is not just speaking words. Oh, you should believe on Jesus Christ. Here's four steps to... No. It's living it. It's living it. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's living the truth. It's living the light. To where no man can argue that when they've been with you, they've seen light. They may not want to see it again. They may think it chokes them, but they know they've seen light. They didn't just hear it, but they've seen light living in a son or daughter of God. That's the way we make known light in this world. That's putting on the armor of light. Not just getting out there with a tract or a Bible, but getting out there with this Word living in us. If it's truly the Word that gives light and that transforms people, the greatest way we can show them that is by looking at how it's transformed your life. Then those words really count for something. Let's go to 2 Peter to close out. And choir, I'm gonna do something to you now. After we close out here in 2 Peter, I'm going to bring you back up. I think Sherry and Ken are ready. I'm not sure if anyone else needs to be as ready. But I'd sure like to close out here in The Lord is the Way again. You know, because that's kind of what I've just taught you today. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 16. This is Peter writing, okay? I know it's God-breathed, but it's still Peter writing. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This word isn't a cunningly devised fable. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Oh, you think of what Peter saw in his life. Did he see some pretty heavy stuff? Oh, man. Remember Peter? The things he saw in his life? So he said, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Peter was there when that happened. You know, if there's anybody who shouldn't have had a question about the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter was there when a voice came from heaven 6. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. A voice came from heaven. Boy, would that convince you about Jesus Christ? And yet, look at what follows. It says, this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What could be more sure than a voice from the heavens? Well, let's see. He's talking about a more sure word of prophecy. So you could absolutely know, even more than they knew that day on the Mount of Transfiguration. What is this more sure word of prophecy? It says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, till the day dawn, the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not. Here's that more sure word of prophecy. What prophecy is it? The Scripture. The Scripture, the prophecy of the Scripture. See? It says, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy of the Scripture came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What's a more sure word of prophecy? The Scripture. The Scriptures. Because the Scriptures are always light. What God spoke from the heavens that day, maybe that was light for those present at that time, but it can't benefit me today. But the Scripture is always light. It's always light. It always reveals God. And it's always sure for you and me. What a wonderful thing we have to enable us as children of light to now walk in light, and then beyond that, make light available to others. I want to go back to verse 19 and show you one thing here, where he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You know what that is now, the word of God. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. This word, take heed, for you guys who want something to study this week, you'd enjoy studying this word, take heed. It's the Greek word prosecco. But it means more than just, you know, give a listen. It means to really adhere to cling to cleave to draw to yourself. So he says, this word of God, it'll do you a lot of good if you draw it to yourself. And take heed means a lot more than just, like, you ought to listen to the word. No, you draw it to yourself, cleave to it, cling to it. That's what he's telling them to do. As unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I should explain this as well. First of all, the words in your hearts in this verse should come right after take heed. So he says we have this more sure word of prophecy that you should cling to, cleave to in your heart. Take heed to in your heart. And then the rest of the verse explains what that's going to accomplish for you and me. I'm almost done, girls, okay? Thanks. It explains what it's going to accomplish for you and me. And this is what the Christian life can be like. Look at this. As unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise. What's that talking about? People think it's talking about Jesus Christ, about Venus. It's talking about something we experience every day. Every day is a dark place, and then the day dawns, right? And then the day star arises. And it finally arises until it's what? It's noon, right? And then all the light you could want is there at noon. That's what it's talking about happens. If we take heed to the Word of God, if we take heed to the Word, allow it to illuminate us, that darkness becomes a little bit of light, a little bit more light, a little bit more light, until the day He returns and we fully enjoy our inheritance with the saints in light. Your life as a Christian and mine can be one of light, 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 and more light. And then we can go into this world full of so much light that we can spill it over on others, and they can maybe receive the first light they've ever gotten. Because God's light, in Him is no darkness at all. His Word is light, and He's given us that Word that we could walk in light, okay? So I'm going to pray, choir, and then while I'm praying, if you want to come up, that would be wonderful. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the light of your Word, and may we take heed to it, Father. May we cling to it. May we draw it to ourselves, that we can have that light to show us where we're walking and show us where we need to be walking better, Father. We're thankful you haven't left us here without light, but you've enabled us a way that we could walk with you and for you, and we're thankful for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.